And there's anger and sadness, as we said. And there's sadness and anger, as we said. And there can be love and hatred at the same time. So I try to, and the music does so much of the work too, because I also love beautiful melodies, and I love song structure, and I love the art of I love the craft of music. So I have all these other things to stop this from just becoming just a wallow fest where you just can't handle it. That's not what I'm after. I want you to sing along, and I want you to tap your foot, all those things too. But I also just, I am writing about the confusing complexity of life.
Yeah.
And sometimes in a very, very simple way.
Welcome to Curious Goldfish, a podcast community where music and curiosity come together through interesting conversations with the music makers of our world. I'm your host, Jason English. You can find Curious Goldfish in all the major podcast and social media platforms. And of course, we have all of our content on our website, curiousgoldfish.com. Happiness and sadness, respect and contempt, admiration and disdain, love and hatred, resentment and appreciation. These are the extremes of human emotions, and they represent the complexities in life that often are too weird or cumbersome to understand in the moment when we feel both extremes and everything in between. But that's where the art and craft of songwriting comes in, and that's where Elliot Bronson wants to dive headlong into, almost like a hiker in a slot canyon in a national park in Utah. It can be a tight fit in between two giant walls of rock, but somehow he helps us get to the other side. Those polarities also played out throughout the three seasons of Ted Lasso. Here's a spoiler alert for late in season 3, when star player Jamie Tart is playing at his former club, Manchester City. He's desperately looking for his estranged father in the stands. Coach Lasso asks Jamie what he'd say to him if he saw him, and Jamie ponders for a second, and then bluntly answers, F you and thank you. A few scenes later, Coach Lasso returns home where he finds his mom making dinner. His mom had recently surprised Ted with a surprise visit. And out of the blue, Lasso demonstrates the polarities with the relationships, this time with his mom.
Mom, what's wrong? Why are you here?
What do you mean?
I mean, if you got something you need to say to me, I'd appreciate if you just went ahead and said it.
Stop. I just want to spend my last night in London with my son to make sure everything's all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for cooking dinner, both of them.
Oh, you're welcome.
And fuck you for not wanting to talk.
Excuse me?
Thank you for flying all the way here to come see me. And fuck you for not telling me you were coming. Thank you for all the small, silly little things you did for me as a kid, you know, like hiding notes in my lunchbox or putting googly eyes on the fruit at the supermarket just to make me laugh. And fuck you for not working on yourself or seeking help after we lost Dad. And for not talking to me about it either, just glossing over the whole thing and acting like everything was all right.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do, Ted, so I pretended I was okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for the apology. And fuck you for making me think I had to pretend to.
All right, I appreciate you sharing all this with me. I just wish you hadn't carried it around for so long.
Sure, many people have recorded hits for happy songs, and the list of sad, lonesome tunes is long. But few people have the guts to walk the tightrope in between the emotions of the human condition. Elliot Bronson does. He does this in a few songs off his latest album, Talking to Myself. He does it in Are You Still Mean?, where in one line he throws a past love a compliment, and in the next verse refers to her as a smug Philistine. He also does it in a song called From Raven Gap. He penned it during a songwriting retreat in the mountains of North Georgia, and it's a letter to his ex-fiancée. Although he's found himself in a happy, fulfilling relationship, he can't help but feel sentimental to a prior love, despite the fact that she didn't always show up for him. Elliot reminds us that it's okay to feel emotional extremes. It's okay to feel sad or to miss someone, even if you've moved on, and even if you found someone new. I'm grateful to Elliot for talking about this in depth, and I'm grateful that he performs From Raven Gap at the end of this episode. This is part two of our conversation with Elliot Bronson. Let's jump back in.
Yeah, and one of the things that I just love about this art form is I love trying to find expression and voice for those emotions that are, you know, in between emotions, you know, like angry, sad at the same time. Like, what's that feeling, you know? Or what's the feeling of being wistful and proud and curious? What's that feeling? You know, you add these things together. And so it's not that I don't have regrets. It's not that I feel like I have, it's not like I say I've squandered my blessings and then I take it back. No, it's both.
It's both.
It's at the same time. What's that feeling? You know, I love trying to put my finger on that place, because I think when you hear a song like that or any song that you love, you recognize it. You go, I've been to that place and nobody told me what it was called. And now I have the name for it. And I have the GPS coordinates to it.
Yeah. So I'm going to say something here. I'm going to try to tie a couple things together, because what you just said is amazing. It reminds me of something. So I don't know the circumstances of the 10-year relationship and how that ended, but I was married for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Right. And, you know, got divorced a couple years ago, moved to Atlanta. And in Ted Lasso, I think it's in the third season, Jamie Tart, who's like the star player, who has an amazing character arc, right? You know, he's hurt in this big game, and he's freaking out because he can't find his dad in the stands. And Ted Lasso comes up to him and he's like, well, if you saw him, what would you want to say to him? I don't know if you remember this, but he's like, F you and thank you.
Yes.
It's basically what you just said.
Yes.
It's both.
Right. Because
right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's well said. Because that's how life actually is, right?
Right.
That's how life actually is. And you find that when you embrace those seemingly opposites, you know, that's when you transcend them in such a way. Like you feel them both at the same time, and then you're not owned by them, you know. They're not you. You can see that they both exist in your being, and there's a beauty to that.
Yeah, and then, you know, Lasso, then his mom's in the episode, and I think it's the first time he actually cusses. And he basically goes, you know, F you and thank you.
Right.
F you and thank you to her. And she's like looking at him like, what's going on here? And to be honest, you know, for me, you know, the person I was thinking of in my life was my ex-wife.
Right.
Right. Because it's like there's a lot going on in basically a 30-year relationship. Mm. You know, there's a lot where she could probably say the same thing to me, but like there's a lot of resentment, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of annoying. But at the same time, when you're with someone that long and you have a family, there's a lot of things to be thankful for.
I'm sure.
And, you know, and so it's like that whole dichotomy of like the F you and the thank you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right.
And the fact that like in your art, it's threading that needle and trying to represent both,
right,
in a way that is meaningful is like really something.
Well, thanks. I mean,
does that make sense?
I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what I'm after when I write a song that I'm proud of or that moves me, you know, that I can learn from. It's because it's reflecting honestly the complicated, beautiful, weird, messy reality of life. It's not because I'm trying to, you know, wall off something or hide from it or, you know, or I don't know, gloss over. I mean, there's so many ways, you know. I mean, of course, you know, I will write a goofy song here and there, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, a feel good tune, but that's not the assignment I was given.
Well, the fact that you embrace that, I love though, because it's who you are.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, people listen to music for different reasons, for the beat and for the,
sure,
the dance, hopefully for lyrics, you know, when right, they warrant that. But for you, it's like, listen, this is me, you know, and a lot of it, life is sorrow. Life is heartbreak. And the fact that you embrace that is great.
Thanks. I mean, and I try to do it in a way that isn't heavy, like that isn't like just a bunch of pain, because there's humor even in the worst stuff, and so that's hopefully in there too. I have those moments in my songs too, and And there's, you know, and there's anger and sadness, as we said, and there's sadness and anger, as we said, and there can be love and hatred at the same time. So I try to, and the music does so much of the work too, because I mean, I also love beautiful melodies, and I love song structure, and I love the art of and of the craft of music. So I have all these other things to stop this from just becoming just a wallow fest where you just can't handle it. That's not what I'm after. I want you to sing along, and I want you to tap your foot, all those things too. But I also just, I am writing about the confusing complexity of life.
Yeah.
And sometimes in a very, very simple way, like we talked about.
Yeah. Well, the other night you mentioned it, it's a great point I want to ask you. So you mentioned 10-year relationship, mm-hmm. Empty Spaces was kind of born out of that. And you took your current girlfriend to swim with the manatees.
Yeah.
Her name's Jenna, right?
That's true.
Does Jenna, like, what does she think about you still, like, from Raven Gap, right? I would imagine that's a reference to your ex-girlfriend or ex-fiance.
Yeah.
Is it not? Does she get bothered, like, you're writing songs that are kind of like, because it's probably representative of who you are.
Jenna's great, and she's also an artist on a lot of levels herself. She's a musician. She's a photographer. And she's more talented than me in lots and lots of ways. And she's a great human being, and she understands that, first of all, we have a great relationship, and she trusts me. And so she trusts me, and she knows that I am not putting things in my songs that I wouldn't say to her. Mm. She doesn't need to look through my songs to figure out how I feel. And, you know, a song like From Raven Gap, which is, again, it's complicated, right? Like, it's a song where I'm writing a letter to my ex, and essentially just in a moment of kind of sadness and solitude, thinking about her, you know? Like, you might think about somebody you were with for a chunk of time. It doesn't mean you want to be with them necessarily, right? It doesn't.
Right.
There are songs about I Want You Back, and this is not that song, right? And in fact, it says it in the song that I'm not even going to send this to you. And I just needed to say it. I played it for my buddy Rune over in Norway, where I've toured a few times. He's a great guy and a fan. And he teared up, he cried, and the first thing he said is like, that is like a song of finally saying goodbye. And that's how I hear it, you know. But it doesn't mean it's not weird. I mean, I'm sure that Jenna has weird feelings about it from time to time, but luckily I can see how some people that might be too much for, but luckily she gets me and she trusts me. So it's not a problem. I think I can write about anything.
Well, I mean, it's also a credit to the relationship, because even though it ended, there's something to remember,
sure,
right?
Sure,
and
sure.
The fact that you're blue thinking about her,
right?
There's sentiment there that, you know, and I think that's, again, it's really beautiful.
It's the reality of life, right? We can miss somebody and not want to see them at the same time, as weird as that sounds.
No, it's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
it's the opposites can be in play.
Right. And it actually makes things richer to know that those are both happening.
Yeah.
You know, when we feel like a real simple one way about anything, it's usually kind of boring.
The song, Are You Still Mean? Is that a reference to the same relationship?
You want all the secrets, don't you?
Please say yes.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's a great song.
Thanks so much. I'm really proud of that one as well.
Well, again, when I saw you this last week and you called it out, but I have to read this out loud. Because I think this is a line that you should be proud of. Do you tear at the night? Do you argue and scream? Or has time smoothed your edges like stones in the stream? So that's beautiful.
Thank you.
It gets better. Is your heart cold as winter? Is your mind black as sin? And here it is. Speaking in splinters to get under my skin. That's really good.
Thanks. Yeah. That's one of those where when you receive it or whatever, download it from the universe, you go, oh man, that's got to go in a song. So yeah. And it was, you know, it's that was true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then the Philistine reference comes later.
Right. Right. You just shrug like a smug Philistine.
Yeah.
Are you still mean?
Yeah. Smug Philistine. Not something I would have expected.
Yeah. You don't see that one coming, do you?
No. That's really good.
Thanks.
Where you're at with your career, it's great because you've put out a bunch of albums. You tour. Your fan base is obviously very loyal. you've mentioned in other interviews about, you know, your time in Nashville, where it's like, hey, I had this hotshot producer, right, who's very successful, but you kind of realize that there's like an inner circle to the inner circle to the inner circle, which I think is fascinating way to do it, because a lot of us that are just fans, they're like, well, how do artists, you know, quote unquote, make it? And like, what does that actually mean?
Right.
I feel like you've made it.
Well, thanks.
No, seriously. And it's great because you played to an audience of 30 people on Saturday night. Right. And a lot of people would be like, well, you know, what does that mean? It's like, well, and some of the other artists I've talked to, I think they've realized that it's more important to have a loyal fan base, to do the art that you do, to write the lyrics that you do that means so much, than, you know, and you have 18,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, which is a really good number, but it, you know, instead of the numbers and the metrics. So I guess my question is, how should I say this without sounding like, you know where I'm going? Yeah. I mean, do you think you've made it?
I don't know. I don't even know what it means. I can't spend a whole lot of my energy and mental space worrying about what rung of the ladder I'm on. If that makes sense. I mean, I'm not against success, and I certainly wouldn't mind more success. You know,
right.
I know what it's like to not be able to support yourself making art. You know, I've waited tables, I've taught guitar, so I know, and I've scraped the bottom for a long time. So I know the difference between that and where I'm just getting to make art all the time and support myself doing that and travel the world and have people who tell me they love me. So, you know, it's all relative. I'm sure there are people who would look at my career and go, eh, it doesn't seem so great. I'm sure there are people who would trade for it in a second. But again, like, that's a friend of mine likes to say, that's the booby prize, trying to figure that out. You know, I can't spend my energy on that. I got to spend my energy on, how do I make something beautiful that I love? How do I share it with the people who give a shit? Can you say shit on your podcast?
Yeah, yes, 100%.
My faith is, back to faith, if I have one, it's that that if I stay true to that, then the rest will take care of itself. On whatever level that is, you know, it may not mean that I get, you know, all the gold coins, but I will have what I need. I'll be able to do this. The people who love me and love my music will support me through it, whatever it takes to make that happen. And will I have the most cushy life of all time? Maybe not, but I'm doing better than I've ever done doing this. Again, like, would I like more? Sure.
Yeah.
But I could do it at the level I'm at now. Forever.
And it's a great level. I mean, seriously, you know, people come to see you. They pay money to come see you play.
Right.
They buy your merch.
Right.
You know, the albums, the whole bit.
It's still amazing to me.
Yeah. No, it's great.
After I have a great show that they hand me money.
Yeah.
Like, it's a wild thing, you know, and I hope I never lose that.
Yeah.
Because I think when you start to lose that, you know, that's when maybe you should think about another career, because you could make a lot of money in real estate. You could make more than me. So if that's your goal, you know, if you're only defining your success by the numbers, then there are easier ways to do it. But if you think, like, spending your life making art and doing something you love and connecting with other humans is worthwhile, which I certainly do, then I've got the best job in the world.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And what's funny is, what was the song that's on the Yellowstone playlist?
It's called Breakdown in G Major.
So if I could be honest, that's like the least Elliot Bronson song of all time.
I need to do more songs like that to get in more TV shows. That's the ones they want.
That was hilarious. I was like, because you talked about that when you were performing the other night, and I had found the playlist.
Right.
And it was, you know, it's had almost 600,000 streams.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Did they find it? And or is that something that the people that, you know, surround you kind of pitch?
You know, people ask me all the time, like, how did you get your song in that movie or that TV show? And I'll be honest, I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, usually there's like at least one or two other people between me and the movie.
Right.
You know, like, there's the music director for the show.
Yeah.
And then at the time, like, when that record James came out, I was working with a label in Nashville. and had management. And so, like, I don't know if it was the label folks or the management folks or the music director who just found me, or, you know, and nobody honest about it, you know. Everybody sort of takes credit for it. So I don't know, you know. But when those things come along, you don't really.
Well, it's cool. I mean, it's great. Such great exposure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like, yeah, that is a different song for me. But that also came out of it's a fun blues, really. It's just like a romping blues. But the lyrics to it are actually about my misadventures in the music industry. And it is, you know, it's one of those things where I'm just telling the truth.
I mean, I love the fact that you love the lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, I love this art form. I mean, it's what I devoted my life to somehow, you know, for whatever reason. And I do see that we live in a time where I think we're living through a period where I should maybe put it another way. There was a period before my time in this, you know, 60s and 70s, maybe some of it into the 80s. And this has nothing to do with the quality of music. There's good music all the time. But there was a period, whatever, the culture was ripe for it, or maybe it was like the fact that there wasn't digital yet, and so there were fewer outlets, and maybe it had something to do with the fact that A&R folks were out there trying to find talent. I don't know what the reason is, but there was a period where the kind of music like I make, that's smart, if I can say it's smart.
Yeah, 100%.
Not to toot my own horn, but, you know, smart lyrics and thoughtful songs about real stuff could make someone a superstar. I can't imagine a Jackson Browne coming along
right.
in 2024
right.
and being like a number one, you know, artist, because it was just a different period. And so sometimes I think, you know, I'm making a thing for a world that doesn't really want it. But, you know, there are lots of us out there. And even if it's a smaller group who go crazy over these little songs that we create.
I think there's a huge market for it.
Well, good. Know? Send them my way.
No, seriously. I mean, who today is sort of your kindred spirit that people would recognize that, or maybe not recognize, that we can learn about, you know? Like, who are you listening to today?
Who am I listening to? I listen to a lot of stuff that's not anything like what I do.
Oh, interesting.
First of all,
interesting.
Like, I listen to a lot of classical music these days. I listen to a lot of, like, that's funny, like, you know, when Spotify gives you your top artists, my number one was like Bob Dylan, number two was like Claude Debussy. So I listen to a lot of that kind of stuff. But there are people out there that I really dig. I really dig Adrienne Lenker of Big Thief. Mm-hmm. I think she's a genius and one of the best songwriters we've got right now. So I would recommend checking her out.
Yeah, all right, good. So you're about to go on tour a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What does that look like?
So it's always a little bit different, you know. Like right now, I have a few kind of like a weekend out and come back, weekend out and come back. But then in March, next month, I'll hit a bunch of shows up the East Coast.
Okay.
I work my way back down, and then we've got Opelika Festival coming up in Alabama, a couple other things in the Southeast, and then I'll head out west and do a West Coast tour. And there's rumors of going back to Norway in August. So
awesome.
Yeah, but it's never, there's no normal, you know. It could be like, oh, he's got a month of shows, or it could be he's got two shows and he's flying out to Texas and coming right back.
It's probably a big relief just to get the album behind you, right?
It's great to get the record out because yeah. It takes so long, you know, to write, record, mix, you know, a master, and then you got to think about the art and, yeah. you know, promote it, all the things. So, and then I also feel like making art is, any kind of art is, there's the making it and then there's the sharing it. And there's like, they're like the in-breath and the out-breath. And you got to have, you can't just breathe in and never breathe, you know, like. So you write a song until I've sang the song for other people that I write. I don't completely know how I feel about it. I really need, I don't even need anybody to say anything, but I just kind of need to feel it vicariously through them. And it feels like the circuit is complete. So when you make a record and you have to wait a year before it ever gets in anybody's ears, it's like an ambient anxiety like in my life until it's out. I definitely had like a huge exhale. I mean, it's still coming, actually, because it's only been out. It's not even been 2 weeks.
Right.
So,
I mean, are you on to the next one in terms of mentally, or do you still have to live in this one for a while?
Well, right now I'm in this period of like decompressing before I go out and play tons of shows. But I'm feeling I'm enjoying sharing it, hearing what other people think of it, getting to play some of the songs live that I never played live, because I didn't want to play every single song on the record for a year before people would get the record. I wanted there to be some surprises. Mm-hmm. So like Are You Still Mean and a few others, like they never got heard at all. And so now I'm like, hey, I got this song. You've been a big fan, but you don't know this one. So that's really cool. But I'd be lying if I didn't say that, of course. Of course, as soon as one's done,
yeah,
you
on.
Start thinking about, right now it's just sort of a daydream. It's not even close to coming up with a concept. But yeah, I mean, there will be another record, and this will be the period in which the writing begins, because it is a seasonal sort of thing. There's the planting and the harvesting, and we're planting.
Well, we're enjoying this one, and we're excited for the next one, whenever that is.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for your time. I guess, could you play some music?
I guess I could do that.
All right, thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
All right, this is a song called From Raven Gap. How are you? It's been a while. I'm looking through old profile. Nothing new. It's good to see you smile. Do you keep in touch with our old friends? I don't hear much from most of them. I guess it's just as well. We don't.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Curious Goldfish. Please follow and subscribe to the podcast and on social media. Also, tell your music-loving friends about us too. Until next time, stay curious.